number 29 in the back of the book. Sleep like divine, amen.
Thank you. just thinking, we had before us the Lord's coming for the last two meetings, and then we sang this hymn, Heaven is Our Home, and how often do we picture what heaven is like? Other than we know it's where the Lord is, and if it's okay, I'd like to suggest one more hymn before we go on. I think Mr. Darby actually wrote two of my favorites, hymn 64 and hymn 79. Well, I'm not suggesting to sing both, but I thought as we sing hymn 79, read the words carefully. They're nicely worded. What it will be like to be, and for lack of a better word, heaven, a home. If that's okay with our brethren. Hymn number 79.
Rest of the saints above.
I used to think, boy, this hymn seems like it never ends. And now I learn to appreciate as if there got to be more. So perhaps young people can, or those who can write, can pen words to an appendix, as if it were, to see what the glory of that place will be.
Verse 20. You do all that in English, brother. Go ahead. Yeah. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. These hymns that we've been singing says that our citizenship is in heaven. This is what it really says here in these two verses. What we meditated on yesterday seemed to be very interesting. We have the Lord's coming before us. But we run the risk to lose the sight of the Lord Jesus and his coming.
Estamos viviendo o viendo unos cambios grandes en el mundo.
We are seeing big changes in this world.
Especialmente en esta nación.
Especially here in this country.
El presidente está prometiendo que esta nación va a ser grande.
The president is promising that this country will be great.
Y está trabajando, está luchando para que esta nación vuelva a ser como antes.
And he is struggling to make this country big like it used to be.
Y quizás muchos de nosotros estamos pensando o estamos embelesados en que eso va a ser una realidad.
And sometimes we may think that this might be the reality. This might happen.
Pero la verdad es que este mundo no va a cambiar.
But the truth is that this world will not change.
Y como nuestro versículo dice, que nuestra ciudadanía está en los cielos.
And as our verses say, our citizenship is in heaven.
Pero muchas veces nos enfocamos, quizás nos enfocamos en la política o lo que tiene que ver con el mundo y esta nación podría ser.
And sometimes we get mixed up into the politics and the way this world thinks.
Y nos enfocamos en esa promesa de que este país va a ser grande otra vez.
And we think about the promise that this country will be great again.
Y pudiera ser que a través de eso perdamos de vista la venida del Señor.
And perhaps because we're thinking about that, we lose the sight.
Pero como el Señor Jesús dijo antes de irse, ir a la cruz.
But the Lord Jesus said before he went to the cross.
Están en el mundo, pero no son del mundo.
They are in the world, but they are not of the world.
Y nosotros como creyentes tenemos que enfocarnos en la palabra de Dios en su venida, Cristo y su venida.
And we as believers in the Lord Jesus has to get our grounding in the scriptures.
Y no enfocarnos en la política o en todo lo que tiene que ver para mejorar a esta nación.
And we not to be so occupied with the politics of this country that we lose sight of our heavenly
Father. Porque si nos enfocamos en todo eso,
if we are occupied with all this,
corremos el riesgo de olvidarnos que el Señor va a venir pronto.
We are risking forgetting that the Lord Jesus may come at any moment.
Y entonces no estaremos esperando al Señor ya.
So then we're not waiting for the Lord as we should.
Yo creo que cada creyente anhela la venida del Señor.
I believe that every true believer longs for the Lord's coming.
No sé si hay alguien aquí que no quiera que el Señor venga hoy.
I don't know if there's anybody here that doesn't want the Lord to come today.
Y si no estamos deseando la venida del Señor, quiere decir que estamos enfocados en las cosas de este mundo.
And if we're not waiting for the Lord's coming today, we're being affected by
this world. Pero nuestro versículo dice que este mundo no es nuestro hogar.
So we're singing that this world is not our home.
Nuestra ciudadanía está allá en el cielo.
Our citizenship is above.
Yo, por la gracia de Dios, tengo dos ciudadanías ahora aquí.
I have two citizenships now.
Tengo la ciudadanía mexicana por nacimiento y la ciudadanía de aquí, de este país.
I have the Mexican citizenship where I was born, and now I have the citizenship of the United States.
Pero ninguno de esos países es mi patria.
But neither of those countries is my country.
Mi patria está allá.
My country is above.
Y debemos o debo enfocarme en las cosas que están allá arriba.
We need to be occupied with that which is above.
Colosenses capítulo 3.
Colossians 3.
Versículo 1 al 4.
Let's read verses 1, 2, 3, 4. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Me acuerdo que anteriormente me contaron una historia.
I remember a story that was told to me.
De una hermana muy rica.
Of a sister who was very rich.
Y que tenía un jardinero.
And he had, and she had a gardener.
Los dos murieron.
The two of them died.
Y la historia dice así, que cuando a la hermana rica le fueron a presentar su casa allá arriba.
And when the sister had her letter presented above.
Pero también al jardinero.
And the gardener too.
Y fueron primero a presentar la casa del jardinero, a dónde iba a estar lo que le pertenecía al jardinero.
And the gardener.
Fueron a enseñarle la casa al jardinero.
Oh, they went to show the gardener where his house was up there.
Y la casa era muy bonita, era grande y bonita.
And it was big and very beautiful.
Y luego después fueron a presentarle la casa a la hermana rica.
And then they presented the letter of the rich lady.
Y en el camino esta mujer dijo, bueno, si el jardinero tiene una gran casa, la mía debe ser magnífica.
And if my gardener had such a beautiful house, what will be my life?
Pero resulta que cuando llegan a la casa de ella, era una casa bien pequeñita.
And when they arrived at her house, it was a very small house.
Y dijo ella, no, esto debe haber un error aquí.
And so she said, there must be an error here.
Yo pienso que esa casa del jardinero me pertenece a mí y esta le pertenece al jardinero.
I'm thinking that the house of the gardener should be mine and this small one is my gardener's house.
Y el que le mostraba la casa dijo, bueno, realmente esta es tu casa, no hay ningún error.
But they said, no, this small house is your house.
Lo que pasa es que el jardinero mandó mucho material.
But what happened was that the gardener sent a lot of material above.
Tuvo material para que esta casa fuera grande y bonita.
And so he had place to build a large.
Pero tú no mandaste suficiente material y lo que mandaste, bueno, salió esta casa y eso es todo lo que tienes.
And the lady who was rich down here hadn't sent that much on ahead.
Entonces, es un ejemplo de cómo nosotros o qué tanto nos preocupamos nosotros por las cosas celestiales.
So it makes us think of how much are we occupied with heavenly things.
El Señor dijo, hacer tesoros en el cielo.
The Lord said, make treasures for heaven.
Allá no hay corrupción, no hay ladrones, no hay nada.
There's no corruption there, there's no thieves there.
Pero si nosotros nos enfocamos en las cosas de este mundo, nos olvidamos de mandar material como el jardinero, no vamos a tener entonces tanto allá.
But if we're occupied with material things here, we're not going to have that much on the other side.
Entonces, no es tiempo. Yo no estoy diciendo que no debemos trabajar.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't work.
El trabajo es bueno.
Work is good.
Pero lo que quiero decir es que muchas veces nos enfocamos, sea en el trabajo, sea en cualquier cosa, pero siempre ponemos la mirada en las cosas de este mundo.
What I'm saying is that we put our sights on things down here.
Todo esto se va a quedar aquí.
Everything down here will continue here.
Leemos un versículo en Primera de Timoteo.
First Timothy, a verse.
Creo que es el capítulo 6.
First Timothy 6.
A ver si me ayuda, hermano, este versículo que dice, sí, dice el versículo, vamos a leer el versículo 6, al 9.
First Timothy
6, del 6 al 10.
First Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Cuando perdemos de vista al Señor,
when we set our sights on the Lord,
prácticamente viene todo esto que hemos leído, viene ese deseo de las cosas de este mundo. Viene el deseo de las cosas de este mundo.
Yeah, if we don't put our sights on the Lord, then the desires for things down here come.
Entonces, como dice Colosenses, debemos poner la mirada allá arriba, porque pronto saldremos de este mundo.
We're going to leave this world at any moment, and so we need to set our sights on things above.
Y que no nos pase como a la hermana rica, que cuando lleguemos no tengamos tanto.
Yeah, when we get up there, don't be like that rich sister that didn't have too much laid up there.
Gracias, hermano. Gracias.
Let's go back to
John 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's the essence of heaven. Well, this morning after Sunday school, most of you know who Joseph and Lydia Hayhoe are. Their youngest child, Vera, was being carried out into the foyer area with one of her older brothers carrying her. He wasn't all that, he was big enough to carry her, but it was a load for him. And she was kind of sagging in his arms, and it was getting to be a burden to him. And I rather amusedly watched them for a little bit, and then I decided I would lift his burden from him. So I went over and I took Vera up into my arms. And she wasn't all that content, but she was, I distracted her a little bit and she was all right. And I recognized, because I know her, what she wanted. And so I headed into this room. Where do you think I was heading? I was heading toward her mother. And the moment she saw her mother and she was put into her mother's arms, she was home. She was in her heaven. Your home is where your heart is. And brethren, what's going to make heaven heaven to your soul and mine is when we arrive and we look at the joy in the face of the Lord Jesus when he embraces us home. And we will be perfectly satisfied because why? Because it's a beautiful place? No. Scripture knows that. It gives us very little physical description of heaven. There is an aspect, even for Vera, when she's not feeling well, when she needs her diaper changed or whatever, that even in mother's arms, I've seen her cry. And she has to be picked up and taken out. And what's distracting her, what is a hindrance to her from the enjoyment of home, has to be taken care of. And we can be very, very thankful that there are things that are a distraction and a care to us, even when we are in what we call our earthly home, the place where we lodge, where we live. But another aspect and joy of heaven is every single hindrance to satisfaction and joy, and to make it trivially simple, every diaper change will be done. There will not need to be a single activity to remove, again, any hindrance to the simple, direct enjoyment of himself. One other connection with the hymn that was sung first when we started this little time together, I am an empty vessel, scarce one thought. Your vessel size is being formed right now. You have a vessel. You are a vessel. And the size of your vessel is currently being formed. If the Lord comes this afternoon, Vera's vessel will be a whole lot smaller than the Apostle Paul's. But both vessels will be filled to the brim and overflowing. And consequently, regardless of how well we walked with the Lord, the degree to which we became from a child to a young man to a father in spiritual growth, we all will recognize and enjoy the Lord Jesus to the full to the measure of our vessel. But at the same time, it's important to recognize there is a difference and will be a difference in heaven in vessel sizes. And those who have walked now with the Lord and fellowship with Himself are growing in the size of the vessel, which will enhance to that soul the measure and the degree of the enjoyment that they have of Himself. And so how you presently live is significant and important in, and the measure in which you will live for heaven now is the measure in which, as the Apostle Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. That is, nothing was more important to his soul than being with him and the anticipation of it and knowing him better now so that he could enjoy him more when he saw him.
Brother Rigoberto read in Colossians chapter 3 to think about them a little bit more, because I do believe this is a challenge to us, brethren. If ye then be risen with Christ, it could read, since, because it's not a question that we are raised, but we are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, and the margin reads, mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. To me, there's a challenge there to set your minds on things above. One time at a get-together we had in Bolivia, out in the country, we wanted to talk about the Lord's things a little bit. So we took up these verses, and I had a chart, and I said, okay, we're going to talk about things that are above. What things are above? That's what it says here. And the immediate reaction was kind of a puzzled look on their face. And the first answer were love, joy, peace. Yeah, that's true. But can you call those things? It's not exactly things. Come on, give me some things. And it was in the course of time that they came up with what we have in Revelation 21, the heavenly city, the river of life, the river that comes out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and the tree of life. Those are things that we can meditate on. And I must say, brethren, it's a challenge, and I just like to mention one thing. Maybe others have other things they can talk about as well, but one thing that is above that I have thoroughly enjoyed in recent times is in John chapter 14. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. First of all, the Father's house. How many houses are there in heaven? Just one. Sometimes we have that, like you mentioned, brother, have the idea that there's all these different houses. No, there's only one house. The Father's house. But in the Father's house, there are many, and that word mansion should be abodes. In other words, a specific place for each person. You know, when you get into a big crowd of people, I still remember we used to go to the Toronto conference and it got up to 1,100, I remember one time when I was there. I remember not even being able to say hello to everybody. It was just too many people. And you get lost in the crowd. When we get to the glory, brethren, how many of the redeemed are there going to be? Millions and billions of the redeemed. I'm convinced of it. Are you going to be lost in the crowd? No. Everyone is going to have a specific place in the Father's house. I love that. You're not going to be lost. You're going to have your place. You might look at some other brother and say, oh, he's going to have such a tremendous place. You are going to have a place in the Father's house. What is the Father's house? It's the place of the enjoyment of the Father's affections. It's the place where the Lord Jesus dwelt from all eternity. You remember in John chapter 1, we don't have time to go to there now, but after John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, two disciples follow Jesus. And he turns around and said, what are you seeking? And they said, Master, where dwellest thou? Where was his dwelling place? It says, he says, come and see. And so they went with him and they saw where he dwelt. Where does he dwell, brethren? In the verse 18 of that chapter, it says, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That was his dwelling place from all eternity. And he didn't leave that, even though he was down here in this world. That was his dwelling place. No, brethren, there's going to be a specific place for each one of the redeemed in the Father's house. I just thoroughly enjoy it. I think I've told the story quite a few times, but maybe not everybody has heard it, but in the Dominican Republic, there's a brother who has 18 children. And he had 14 children with his first wife, and one morning when he woke up, she had gone to be with the Lord during the night. So after a couple of years, he married again, had four more. So I have a picture on my phone of him and his 18 children around him. But when I was there the last time, I said, looked at him, I said, Brother Blanco, which of the 18 is your favorite child? He looks at me, he just goes like this. There was no favorites. I just thoroughly enjoyed that. But I believe it will be that way, brethren. You know, if you have several children, they're all different. And even though he had 18, he didn't have a favorite. Every one of them were special to him in a different way. And I think that's what it's going to be in the Father's house. There will be a place for you there. But I think the exhortation of our brother Rigoberto is really pertinent for us to think about, brethren, to set our minds on things above, on those things that will last for all eternity. I must say I've been tremendously challenged by the life of our brother Eric Smith in my life. Brother Eric Smith, some of you younger ones probably have heard of him, but he was the brother that went to Bolivia, arrived there in 1921, and through his labors, there are many believers in that country, and many gathered to the Lord's name now too. But I went with him in 1968 for the first time to Bolivia, and I must say, I was really challenged. We're going to have a conference in a place where he started the work amongst the Indians, in a place called Yulo. And Clem Buchanan was along, and Doug Buchanan, and also Ramon Alarcón from Mexico. Ramon Alarcón and Eric Smith sat up in the cab of the truck. We were on a truck, in the back of a truck. It's the way they travel around. So we were standing in the back of the truck all that day, coming down to where we're going to meet the brethren. And here in the evening, we arrived where the brethren were waiting for us. I never forget how it hit me. Brother Eric Smith was from a wealthy family in New Zealand. And his father was not a believer when he decided to go to Bolivia. And when he told his father that he had decided to take the gospel to Bolivia, his father wanted all his children to prosper in life, to get a good education and make good money and prosper. And when his father heard that this was the decision of Eric Smith, he said, "If that's your decision, son, get out of my house. You have no longer any place here." And he had to get out. And then he did go to Bolivia. He was studying medicine, and he only was able to study 2 years. But he's still known in Bolivia as El Doctor. But it was so interesting when we came to Yulo. There was the brethren waiting for us, and the brother that was driving turned off the engine and rolled to a stop. There was a little window into the cab of the truck, and I looked through that cab, and there was Eric Smith, head down, tears streaming down his face. And the Lord just brought it home to my soul. He could have stayed in New Zealand. He could have had a lot of wealth. But he decided to go the other direction. And the result is blessing that will last for all eternity. And at that moment I said, "Lord Jesus, please help me not to be deceived by material things. Help me to set my sights on things above." And I must say, to live for God's eternal day. That day of glory is just ahead. Don't live for the brief pleasures of this passing world. It's all going to pass away in short order. Live for that which will last for all eternity. How important.
It's a future day, which is true, but what are we to do right now? And we have the privilege each Lord's Day, and we often say this verse for us, "Often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." We know that well. We just had that remembrance a short while ago. But often that verse, we have to know that did not stop there. Till he come. Each Lord's Day, we have the privilege, first of all, to look back to the cross. If some were saying, we go sing praises, I don't believe that's the main purpose of being there. Although praises could flow forth from that. But we have the privilege to remember him in his death, and at the same time, we can look forward to his soon return. That's how we can keep our heart close to our Lord. Then there's a hymn writer you know well. He was known for his hymn, Gospel Hymn, Yet There Is Room. You know that hymn by George W. Frazer. He wrote many hymns in a hymn book. And one of the one I like in the last stanza, he would say, Till thou shalt come in glory and call us hence away. We need to remember that. And just one more part of that verse, he says, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, the King James translation said, ye do show, we repeated that already, but if you look at the Darby translation, it will say that you are to announce his death. That's what we do too, is announcing to the world the Lord's death and be reminded to do so until he comes.
Could we close by singing 301? 301.